Welcome to Monday Night Therapy. By God, we need it. Let's just start that. We're going to, Todd and I, before we started the show, we took cleansing breaths. We took cleansing breaths, and then Todd decided to go with this, and I'll show you the reason why. Here we go. There you go. Nebraska baseball season started, and Nebraska went out to San Diego and lost four games. And they lost them in horrible manner. I know the last one was, but it says 16-16. But my God, that's 17. You give up 16 runs on seven hits when a team makes three errors. Oh my God. I listened to the game with Greg Sharp and stuff, and I'm sure that Todd watched it. Anyway, the last game by far was a tie, but it wasn't a tie. It was a loss. The season's over, Todd. Fire everybody.
Ugh. I need therapy tonight, John.
Do you?
I don't know if me and my son, Jim, are going to be able to do it on our own. So I did bring in my friend Bullet, and maybe this will take care of what I endured the last 4 days. You know, I never thought I'd bring props to this podcast. I kind of thought we'd take a more mature approach. But when you get beat 16-16, like we did today, and I went on the record and staked my reputation last week saying that the strength of this baseball team would be our bullpen. My God, what a shitty performance by the Nebraska bullpen. I tell you, I have never seen anything like that. And thank God, Will Bolt's comment to the media after the game was, how hard is it to throw a ball over the plate? Then they don't deserve to be out there. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Help me.
Okay, so,
help me, John.
So, well, for people that don't know what happened today, Monday's game, Nebraska went into the final inning. It was a shortened game because they had to get on a flight. So it was a seven-inning game. Nebraska had the lead 16-10 going into the final inning, and they had one of their veterans out pitching, Shea Shanneman, and this is a veteran pitcher. This is a guy that's been around. And he did what? Did he hit two guys?
He walked a guy, hit a guy. Walked a guy, hit a guy. I mean,
and then he'd been. And then they bring in.
Bring in
Mason Ornelas, who is another veteran pitcher. And they basically gave up six runs. And they brought in a freshman to actually get the outs. That's the thing that you kind of looked at. Now, I listen to the baseball team on the radio. I listen to the Huskers app on my phone. I like listening to Greg Sharp, and it's Ben McLaughlin, right? I think it is.
Yeah, they're two of the best.
I like those guys because I don't think Greg Sharp really – he's not a rah-rah guy. I mean, he was disgusted. He'd said he was disgusted with the final inning, and it was really disappointing because, you know, I mean, it ends up on the scoreboard as a tie, but it's a loss. And the baseball team, I don't know, what about the weekend? They just kind of,
nobody that follows baseball expected Nebraska to go out to San Diego and sweep a four-game series from them. They are a very good baseball team. They're an up-and-comer. You know, they've recruited very well. I mean, shoot, they put a bunch of freshmen out on the mound that, for the most part, shut us down until today when, you know, a couple of those young guys couldn't find the plate. So, you know, the reality is that in the first game, Nebraska had five hits. They got off to a slow start. Emmett Olson pitched pretty well in that first game, but then nobody could come out and throw strikes after him. But the offense wasn't there enough to generate enough runs. But in game two, they had 11 hits. In game three, they had 10 hits. And today, they had 17 hits. 17 flipping hits. to 7 for San Diego, and they can't win a stinking ball game with that. You know, it's just embarrassing. Nebraska has, you would have thought Nebraska had the ability to walk out of there with maybe 2 wins. Certainly not going 0-for on that trip. And I tell you what, they're headed down to South Alabama next weekend for 3 games. And if this pitching doesn't get straightened out, they're going to be 0-7 before you even blink. You know, somebody commented over here, it's time to get a real pitching coach. I'm not going to string Jeff Christie up the flagpole yet. But, you know, you got a hell of a good pitching coach on that staff. You got one of the best pitching coaches that's ever coached college baseball on that staff. Rod Childress is there. Now, perhaps Rod Childress is really happy just being kind of a consultant and riding off into the sunset. I don't know. But if I'm Will Bolt and if I look at the performance this weekend and then at some of the performances last year and some of the decisions that are made about when you put a pitcher in and when you pull him and all of that kind of stuff, you know, what's going on with that? What's going on with that? So
do we not do this every year though?
Well, there have been seasons where they've started off better than this.
Better than this, yes. But you know that every first game, every first series, I literally tweet, fire everybody, fire the pitching coach. There's usually somebody going fire the pitching coach on the first weekend. But this was particularly bad.
You don't fire a pitching coach on the first weekend, but something's going to have to turn around with those veteran arms. Something's going to have to happen. And, you know, it's time, you know, they stepped in and got Bryce Matthews' attention today. First of all, I don't think Bryce Matthews is a leadoff batter, and he struggled with that responsibility last year. They gave him 3 games this year to try to prove himself. Bryce Matthews is much better down the lineup where he can drive in runs. They put him down in the 9th spot, and he had a pretty good game today at the plate. I mean, what Nebraska hitter didn't have a good game today? My goodness, 7 of the Nebraska batters had 2 hits in the game. You know? Oh, my gosh. Okay, I'm done. I'm done with baseball for today. I'm going to take a deep breath. We got South Alabama next weekend, and we'll regroup. And, you know, the beautiful part about baseball is that until the end of the season, you got another game next week. You got a chance to get it right. And hopefully Coach Bolt can get these guys straightened out.
Great. Todd, we're done with baseball. We're only 9 minutes in here.
John?
Yes? I don't want to give you I'd have you have an aneurysm.
I don't have enough booze to talk about any more baseball.
Okay. Okay.
Next? But okay, I'll tell you what's next.
Did you see Iowa's pitcher got D1 baseball pitcher of the week? Oh my God! I guess we better we better move on there. For those listening on the podcast, Todd just flipped me off on the show the first time I think he's ever done that. Although I will say that throughout my lifetime, I have gathered the ability to have a lot of people flip me off in my life.
Yes, you have. I was going to transition here, John. I was going to transition. What are you because, you know, of the entire Corn Nation staff, all of us that write and pontificate and do podcasts and express all of that, I'm probably at the bottom of the pile when it comes to being a basketball fan. You know, I don't have anything against basketball. I just thank you, Fred. I just am not a huge fan of the sport. But I am a Fred Hoiberg fan, and I have been since I watched the kid play in high school. Pitch in high – there we go! There's the pitching coach we need, Fred Hoiberg. Anyway – he was a hell of a high school pitcher, by the way. But I have watched I have watched parts of four basketball games recently, and they've won three of the four. And what an exciting team to watch play. I mean, holy smokes, that win last night against Maryland, that was so fun. And to see the little scrawny guys, you know, I think, did they get rid of Jim Pillen? Is Sam Hoiberg the mayor or the governor of Nebraska now after that performance? And you see,
yes.
you see, I'm probably going to butcher his name, but Kisei Tominaga. I mean,
Kisei.
Have you ever seen a kid play a game with greater joy? I mean,
yeah.
You know, I mean, you can't help but love watching this team play right now. And pity the team that has to come in, you know, to Pinnacle Bank Arena and take on the Nebraska men's basketball team right now. You know, if you're a bubble team, you'd be better off pretending you have COVID and avoid the game. Oh, we can't play. We've got eight players out with COVID. We can't make it work. You know, manufacture your COVID results so you don't have to come out and play the mighty, mighty Huskers.
I mean, it, you know, I watched, I usually sit and I look at in the first half, I look at the score on my phone. Because when I watch the games, I get so stressed out, I get headaches, and the thing about the game is against Maryland, especially, I just kept waiting. Okay, we're going to fall apart. Okay, we're going to fall apart. Okay, we're going to, and we don't fall apart. And it's just, it's conflicting my brain because I'm so used to this. When are we going to collapse? When are we going to not make our free throws? Something's going to bad happen here. They're going to call a foul. Fred Hoiberg will be tossed. You know, all this horrible catastrophizing. I practiced saying that word for 10 minutes today.
Catastrophizing.
It is a great word. Catastrophizing. Yeah. You know, all this.
Genrefication. That's a new word for me.
Okay. But I keep looking, you know, for anything to go bad and go wrong, and it just doesn't. And, you know, I think the win against Maryland is particularly, I think, amazing because they, you know, Walt got into foul trouble. Griesel got into foul trouble. Who was it got hurt? Lawrence got hurt early, you know, and he's a guard, one of the point guards that we were expecting to be in the game and does stuff. And they still, you know, Sam Hoiberg had that steal at the end to seal the game. They free throws down the stretch. And then Tominaga is just, I have to ask this, all you people that are on chat, I'm the most cult of personality player that Nebraska's, you know, my memory, you know, I'll know that if you watched, my memory isn't the greatest, but I'm going to, even for I'm going to say minor sport too, because I think minor men's basketball is, it's below football, certainly below volleyball, it's probably below baseball, but I see the biggest cult of personality player that Nebraska's had, I don't want to say ever, because I think, you know, there's been some, but in a very, very, very long time.
How can you not help, you know, jumping on his bandwagon and just, you know, loving that, the way that that guy plays. And, you know, he has been on fire the entire month. You know, okay, I didn't know that you called it a heater. You know, as basketball people speak, he's been on a heater all month. But
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, I didn't know it. Maybe I'm not even saying it right. But I'll tell you what, the kid is lighting it up. He plays with, you know, unrestrained joy. And it's just absolutely a thrill to watch him play. Derek Walker kind of stands out there at the top of the key, you know, back and forth. And he's just kind of like, he's kind of like a dad out there. I mean, he's old enough to be a dad, certainly, but you know, he's just kind of like a dad out there directing his kids, you know, how to play and what to do. And, you know, holy moly. And they frustrate the heck out of the other team, drawing those charges and all of that kind of stuff. I can't say enough about it. And you know what? I think Nebraska basketball, and I can't believe I'm saying this, it will be appointment viewing for me here for the remainder of the season, unless, of course, I can watch some wrestling, but or some soccer or baseball. But anyway, it's moving up the ranks, and I would be more than happy to watch them play. So, yeah, men's basketball put a thrill in everybody this weekend. Another team that looked pretty doggone good.
Wait.
Oh, yeah.
From the post-game notes from Seamus McKnight, I'll wait there from somebody else. KSA Tominaga scored 20 points, his fifth consecutive 20-point scoring effort. Tominaga is the first Husker to have five consecutive 20-point games since Tyrone Lue scored 20 points in seven straight games during the 97-98 season. Let's see, what was that? He's been at double figures for 10 of the last 11 games. And that's amazing. With Walker and Tominaga each topping the 20-point mark, Nebraska had two players score 20 points in the same game for the first time since Alonzo Verge, 25 points, and Bryce McGowan's 24, each had 20-point efforts in a four-overtime game at NC State on December 1st, 2021. But that took four overtimes. So, it's been fun. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what they do from here on out. And I think I've said this before, they've lost players. And, you know, they're shorthanded and they're still doing pretty well. Wait a minute. Linda says, I have not paid attention to Nebraska basketball since Bob Gratop played for Nebraska in 67 through 70. Did you have a thing for Bob, Linda? Is that why you were watching basketball then, or what's the deal? You can turn it on. It's on. Okay.
Isn't that what you're supposed to say? It's impossible that Linda could have been what? She's not that old. There's no way.
Oh, yes, you're right. Yeah, okay. That's true. You could just turn it on, Linda. You can just turn you can watch. They're fun to watch. We have the Japanese Steph Curry on our team. And it's he is going to, though. I mean, when you think about it, he is garnering so much attention with the way he plays and how funny he is to watch that, you know, I started thinking about this. Kenny Bell was another player that all of us loved.
Oh, sure.
I mean, you could go through volleyball players, I think, over and over. You know, for each team, there seems to be a volleyball player that everybody loves. Like Matty Kubik was, you know, the last one on last year's team. And Mikhail Feki, I think, was another one I loved watching. But in terms of football or in terms of another major sport, I think Kenny Bell was the last guy I can think of that was universally loved. And Tominaga is on his way to doing that, don't you think?
So, yeah, I do. But, you know, something that I wonder, and again, you know, my limited attention to the sport leaves me without some information here. But when I have watched the last couple of games, you know, announcers have been pretty quick to say, you know, they talk about the seniors that are going to be gone. You know, Derek Walker's going to be gone. Sam Griesel's going to be gone. And then they always kind of qualify it. Well, and you know, Tominaga may not be back. So – What's all that chatter about Tominaga? He's a sophomore, right? I do understand that he played on, you know, Japan's Olympic team, you know, so he you know, in all likelihood, he has some potential maybe back home to play at, you know, in the Japanese professional league. I mean, you know, he's not equipped to play in the NBA right now. I mean, he's got the build of an eighth grader. I mean, the physique of an eighth grader.
You only think that because he's surrounded by guys that are 6'11". I think he's, what is he, 6'2"?
Oh, he can't be 6'2".
Okay, I looked up on Twitter. I was searching something on Tominaga, and you know how you can type into Twitter questions about a guy? high, and so many people were looking up his height. I'm going to do that right now. But I think the reason why they say he may not be back next year is because he can go home to Japan and make a crap ton of money. And, you know.
Well, and Chris Tussing just chimed in here and said he could probably go play anywhere in Europe, too. You know, if he wants to, if he wants to start his professional career there.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you what.
You know what? He's 5'10".
And in basketball, they always cheat by at least 2 inches.
They do. So he's 6 foot tall.
No, he's 5'8".
Oh, wait. No, that was Google. I wasn't looking at the roster. So somewhere in international, they probably have a real measurement of him and put that out there. But, you know, I think he can go back to Japan and make a crap ton of money.
Well, so, I'll tell you what. If this is where NIL needs to step up. I don't know that he watches our show, but sometimes I get some feedback from him on Twitter, but I'm probably going to butcher his name. But Nick Mesteas at Muchachos. We got to get Keisai Tominaga an NIL deal. And what better way to promote your restaurant? We need like the Bonsai Burrito or something like that so that we can get Keisai, you know, some little, you know, moolah and keep him around Lincoln, Nebraska for another year. I don't know what goes on at Bonsai Burrito, but I'm sure, Nick, you can figure it out. You're one of the best entrepreneurs in the city of Lincoln and in the whole state of Nebraska. Muchachos. Fine Muchachos.
Are they sponsoring us?
No, but if I say Muchachos enough, maybe Nick will send me another burrito. I'll tell you what, I took on that pipeline burrito by myself. Oh, my God. I ate about a third of it, and I was beyond full. I got 3 meals out of that sucker. I mean, it was so good. Oh,
wait. James Boardman says Sam Hoiberg isn't tall enough to ride roller coasters. That's a good point. I mean, he is not. And then, let's see, Cornhusker Corner comes in with Casey is not allowed to accept nil because he is a foreign exchange student. That was right. That was true for Nuruddin Nuili.
And Jazz Shelley, too. Jazz right. Shelley, I remember that. But I think Jazz found a way around it a little bit. I don't know.
It has something to do with their I don't want to say immigration visas. That's
visa,
it.
Not a work visa.
Yeah. You know, because the government has rules and regulations.
Well, then what we need to do is, I don't know what we need to do. We need
pay
to
his parents. We need to send money to his parents.
There we go.
Because I'm sure that's not illegal. Oh, okay. Linda says she'll be 73 in May, Todd, and that guy she watched was 2 years ago, and he scored 50
God
points in a
you,
game.
Linda. Thanks for showing up week after week and supporting us here. And, you know, and Fred Sacco, you know, I am a broken man, but I will survive. I will survive, Fred.
Beetle B says it's spring in Lincoln, global warming maybe. I want to hear about some football. They were practicing yesterday on the field. They were not practicing. This is winter conditioning. That's different.
They did do some. They were pushing some kind of sled in the snow the other day. You know, I saw something like that. I think they took them outside, you know, to do a little bit of team bonding in that deep snow, and they had the sleds out there on the field, and they were shoving around.
I think they were doing neat videos in the snow. That's what they were doing. I mean, come on, these are football players. They're, you know, 10-year-old kids. What are they going to get out of pushing sleds in the snow?
Mental toughness.
Okay, mental toughness. Here, Esther.
Well, you know, what is there to say about football right now?
There's not much. There's our rules changes bit.
Well, we can come to that in just a few minutes. We got a couple other things that we need to hit on, and we will talk about those rule changes. But I guess one thing I do want to say about Nebraska football, and for those of you that are you know, watching, listening, if you haven't seen the little bit on CBS News or CBS about Malachi Coleman. That was a really good bit. And that Hartman, I can't think of his first name. Steve Hartman, maybe he does, you know, some of those pieces. And they put together a really nice one about Malachi Coleman and how he has an NIL deal. He started it when he was still playing at East with Muchachos. And the proceeds, yeah. And the proceeds from the sale of burritos or whatever he was kind of advocating for or a spokesperson for, the proceeds go into the foster children's system and foster care system. But if you haven't seen that CBS profile on him, you need to Google it and find it, because it really does put a nice slant on this young man from Lincoln East that he survived an incredibly traumatic childhood, and he's given back. So good story. You need to watch it.
Okay, what you got on your list, Todd?
Well, you know, on football, they seem to think they need to tinker with it. They always do.
Oh, wait a minute. You're talking about rules changes.
Yeah. What do you want to talk about?
They are.
Okay. So these are the the NCAA, who has studied this for years. I loved your quote and coordinate on Slack today, John. You know, the NCAA has had a committee that has been considering these rules changes for 3 or 4 years, and yet they can't seem to come together and have a 15-minute conversation on NIL or the portal until they kick in. So, you know, that tells you where their priorities are at. But this is all coming about because they feel like they need to shorten the game. Okay? Is shortening the game, is that all that important? Is that necessary? I mean, the only thing that pisses me off about a game going long is when the early game runs into my game that I want to watch at 3 o'clock and I got to go to a different television station to watch it. I mean,
that's what they don't like.
Too long. So,
okay. You need to understand business, Todd. You know, you being in the public sector.
That's bullshit,
no, you don't. You do not. Business likes everything to be
predictable.
you're a commie. That's a different thing. Don't choke. business likes things to be predictable all the time. So when they put a 3.5-hour time slot for a game or a 3-hour time slot in for a game, they want that game to fit that time slot. They don't want things bouncing around or moving it around, because they might have to hire from producers, or they might have to pay some different people to have cameras somewhere, or they might have to, you know, like BTN might have to pay more money for a camera or a channel overflow or something like that. I don't know, but I know that business likes everything predictable.
So, and yes, these are bitching all about the length of college football games, you know, before they started interjecting all these commercials, having all of these timeouts for TV. All of that kind of garbage. I don't think anybody was complaining about the length then, you know, and they'll talk about doing anything they can to speed up baseball games and speed up football games, but no one ever throws out on the table, let's shorten up the commercials. Nobody throws out the idea that the world's most popular sport, they run 45-minute plus halves without commercial interruption. And when they do sometimes throw commercials up there, they split the screen. They have the commercial on one side, and they show you what's going on the other side. That's bullshit. We have allowed ourselves to kiss the ass of corporate America long enough. It's time that somebody stands up and says, you know what? We need to do things better, and we need to get the decision-making power back in the hands of the conference commissioners and take it out of the hands of ESPN, Fox, NBC, CBS, QAnon, and everybody else, whoever else is making these decisions.
My God.
God damn. My baseball team better start winning.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant, super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Do you want to go through any of these actual rules?
Okay.
The four preferred. I'll read them off. Mr. Guy that needs to take a breath. Cleansing breath, Todd. Cleansing breath. Remember, yes, there you go. You don't have to. Okay. You do your cleansing breath however you want. Nobody saw that because I covered it up with a graphic. I'm the only one that's able to see you. The four proposals under consideration are, number one, prohibiting consecutive timeouts, i.e. icing kicks. Two, no one-time. You know what? Let's go through these one at a time.
I got no problem with number one.
I don't have any problem with number one either. I think kicks is just dumb. I realize it's a strategy.
One team will take a timeout. One team will take a timeout. Then they'll go back out on the field, and the other team doesn't like the formation, so boom, they call it. I mean, yeah, okay, we can do that. I'm good with that.
Okay, no untimed at the end of the first quarter or third quarter. You got to wonder how much time that's actually going to save. You know what that sounds like?
Probably two commercials.
That's how they think of it, I'm sure. But what that really sets up is no untimed down at the end of the first quarter or third really sets the officials up to make mistakes because it's been that way forever. And now they're just going to change it.
No, what they'll do is they'll just add it into the next quarter. They'll just carry it over to the next quarter.
Well, yeah. Okay, clock number three is clock runs after first downs except inside of 2.5 minutes, which is – basically like the NFL.
You know, yeah, I was going to say, the NFL does that, don't they?
Yeah. I guess I've always liked that college didn't do what the NFL did because, I don't know, because they're not professionals. They get 20 hours a week to practice their offenses. And, you know, okay, quote 20 hours, bird quotes, or what do you call them, finger quotes? Bird quotes. Finger quotes, you know, 20 hours a week. To study. They're not professionals. I think that, you know, going to having them have a pause or have a strategy where you get a first down, the clock stops. I like that. I don't like the way the NFL does it. Or the NFL can do it. They're the NFL.
I agree with you, John. I don't like it, but that's one I can live with. I guess that's how I would say it.
Number four, the clock runs on incompletions once the ball is spotted.
No.
Yeah, it's, you know, what do you want from us? NFL, go fucking watch the NFL, you know?
That's taking a strategy away from the game. That's taking a strategy away. So what that means is when the quarterback's under pressure and he sails it out of bounds, he needs to throw it in like the third deck so they can't get, well, they got more balls on the field.
But. Yeah, they do. They do. This isn't eighth grade football, Todd. Okay. For them, you know, they spent 3 or 4 years studying this this was from a Ross Dellinger tweet. And he said, you know, they looked at this for 3 or 4 years through analysis of 3 or 4 years worth of plays and stuff. And my thought is, you guys didn't do any, did you do any analysis for the portal? Did you do any analysis? Because, you know, now we had the Wild West going on and it sure as hell, it feels like you're making up everything after everything already happened. And, Now you want to change this because it affects your money, because your overlords, the TV networks, are coming after you and basically saying, we want you to change this so things can be more predictable for us, because that's us. You know, we want to control everything. That's really what business wants to do. Predictable and control over everything. So I don't know. I don't think they should make changes on behalf of networks. Well, you know,
it's, you know, and this is, I know most of the people here don't give a crap about it, but you know what? The way that soccer is run, international soccer, the way it's run, it's awful doggone predictable when the game's going to be over. The game's over. And they can hit all of their TV times based upon that. You know, so I don't know. I'm just frustrated by the whole thing because, you know, you've two sports. They're so concerned about making them move faster. And the only reason that both of those sports got any longer was because of television. Television commercials extended the length of baseball. Television timeouts have extended the length of a football game. And that's what's caused them to be longer. Now, I won't for a minute say that baseball players haven't exacerbated the problem with, you know, pitchers have to go through this whole mental sequence every time, you know, before they put their foot on the rubber and you know, throw a pitch. And the batters have to go through all kinds of, you know, you got to tug your glove, you tighten it, loosen it, tighten it. You know, you got to go through all this ceremony before you can, you know, get in the batter's box. You know, that takes all day. But, you know, you can solve those problems pretty quick.
You know, they did. That is something we didn't mention about baseball, is they have now got a batter's clock. There were several games in which players were called out. Bryce Matthews got called a third strike because he wasn't ready to bat. There were some complaints about an SEC team, I think I saw.
Pitchers have to deliver the ball, and you know they're enforcing that. You know, I watched that quite a bit last year, and rarely did I see a ball given to the batter. But there was so much inconsistency on the clocks. You know, apparently the umpire at third base is the one that's supposed to start the clock, and it was inconsistent as all get out. But boy, I'll tell you what, this year they're on top of it. And I know that in the first game that Nebraska played against San Diego, there were two violations, and both of them I think were with hitters. I'm not sure that the pitchers ever got one. The beauty of this for Nebraska's pitching, Nebraska's pitchers work fast anyway. There will not be a problem on Nebraska's end with their pitchers. They're not changing their routines at all. They get on the mound and they go. But boy, I'll tell you what, that's going to change the routines for a lot of teams, because typically, you know, they don't like to rush their pitchers at all. I do like the cup adjustment. Oh my God. I do like the fact that they have the pitchers moving the game along and are getting the batters in the batting box, in the batter's box.
But, you know, the other thing, go ahead.
Well, with football, you know, it bothers me that, you know, when you go out of bounds now, that doesn't stop the clock.
Right.
Except,
right.
You know, I don't even know what the rule is. Somehow that one got past me. I don't even know what the rule is. I always thought when you went out of bounds, the clock stopped. You know, that's why I keep thinking, you know, I tell my wife, I've told ADs and coaches that have asked me about going back out there and officiating wrestling, because there's such a shortage of referees. I mean, it's really, really bad in some sports. I can't do this until I lose 50 pounds. There's nothing more embarrassing than watching a wrestling referee who pounds down on the mat to try to count points and he can't get up. And that would be that, you know, what, roll over, you know, ask, help me, get me up off the mat. That would be horrible. But, you know, I've thought about going back and working with some football as well. I really enjoyed officiating football, but hell, I don't know the rules anymore.
You could pick up on them really quick.
Well, I'm sure I could.
You can do it. You can do it, Todd.
I got to lose 50, man. 50.
50 so pounds? I can do it.
I have to. You know how,
is
you
this
know
a goal? Is it? Is this a goal for you? It's a.
Well, no, I'm not going on the record and saying that, you know, it's 50 okay. or plus, but if I'm going to officiate, I mean, I'm carrying around a kid in front of me. And if you watch wrestling, you realize, I mean, referees during wrestling matches are constantly up and down, up and down.
Yeah,
up
they
and
are. Down. Yeah,
and,
that's true.
You know, I sit on the floor watching television. Thank God I got a couch to pull myself up. I mean, I.
Okay. Oh, Linda loves you so much. She goes with a, would that be a fallen, I've fallen and I can't give it, get up moment.
Yes, yeah, that would be,
that would be, that would be for Todd. Okay. Yeah. We got excited about baseball and I did not bring up something I wanted to ask you about. What the hell was the old San Diego's coach getting up every 5 minutes and talking to the umpires?
He's a whiner. He's a whiner. What a flipping little baby. You know, he was determined that he was going to question everything to show everybody how smart he is. Apparently, he's only been at San Diego for 2 years. Guy can coach. Really? Yeah, the guy can – well, they went through his bio today. I mean, he grew up in San Diego, played high school baseball in San Diego, played at the University of San Diego, went off – or San Diego State for Tony Gwynn, went off – you know, I mean – he's Mr. San Diego, but yeah, he's just a whiner. And what he wanted to do, some of these guys get it in their minds that they're going to try to manipulate the game and they're going to try to tell the umpires how damn smart they are. And I think that that's what he was doing. I got to think that the Nebraska coach is over in his dugout just saying, shut up, get back in the dugout and just shut your mouth.
There was one bit where, come on, who was it? One of our guys didn't get a call on a hit by pitch, and then the San Diego batter stuck his arm out, got hit by pitch.
Yeah,
I mean, they get the home calls. You always get the home calls, don't you?
Yeah, they did, and honestly, and even the San Diego announcer said, I didn't see the difference in either of those calls. I mean, you know, there was no difference, and the Nebraska guy gets. You know, he has to go back and stand in the batter's box, and the San Diego guy got first base. Honestly, I didn't think the umpires were that bad. I thought the umpires actually were pretty good overall this weekend. But but it was, you know, those were two bad calls. Other than that, I mean, outside of that, I thought those guys did a pretty good job, really.
Justin Rogge. I probably butchered that, says a Life Alert sponsor is coming soon. Maybe you could work on that, Todd.
I think I could. You know, my old friend Don, he says 50 pounds is a walk in the park for a wrestler. Well,
yeah.
Don, it's so much easier to put it on than it is to take it off anymore. I am changing my ways. Because I really would like to go out there and officiate again. I think it'd be fun.
Really? Really?
Yeah, I do. I loved officiating wrestling. That was a blast. My wife suggested when my daughter got done playing softball, when she finished her career, my wife suggested that, I mean, you make some good money. You really make some good money doing this. But my wife suggested the two of us should partner up and do softball. And I was thinking, that is awesome, because my wife, she could umpire behind home plate all flipping day and never have to bend her knees. She never would. She'd never have to crouch down. Can you imagine how easy that would be? I mean, you know, normally for guys like me, you know, you're constantly squatting and standing. That's kind of hard on the old knees and the hammies. But my wife, being 5 foot nothing on a good day, she literally could stand behind the catcher without ever bending her knees, and she could just stand back there, rack one, two. She could call it all day. And all I have to do is call the bases and know the rules. She calls balls and strikes.
When are you going to do this?
Well, we got to have
summer.
We gotta...
summer is just around the corner.
Yeah, it is.
According to somebody earlier, they have global warming going on in Nebraska. Minnesota, where I live, is about to be hit by like 40 inches of snow or some damn thing. Okay, we still have things on our list, Todd. Go back to focus on the list, Todd.
Focus on the list.
The focus
women's
on the
basketball,
list.
Women's basketball. Women's, I don't know who they played, but they got beat.
But they lost to Minnesota.
They lost to Minnesota. Yeah,
they lost. They lost. Bad loss. That's a terrible loss.
They threw that away. Softball this weekend, you know, they played in the toughest softball tournament in the country. They were down in Clearwater. That Clearwater tournament, they started that about 3 years ago, and they said, we're just bringing in the best, and they have brought in the best. And Nebraska, unfortunately, they went 1-4 after starting off the previous weekend going 4-1. But the competition got cranked up something fierce. They did beat Texas A&M, gave Texas A&M their second loss of the season, but they lost the last game down there today against Arkansas. And, you know, tough run for Nebraska, but, you know, that's why you go to a tournament like that, is so that you can face off against the best and measure yourself and figure out how what you need to do to compete the rest of the season. Wrestling had a huge win yesterday against Arizona State. And for those of you that – I'll tell you what, guys, anybody that watches Nebraska wrestling, or if you haven't, next year start, there is a kid on this team that wrestles 184 pounds. His name is Lenny Pinto, P-I-N-T-O, like the bean. Lenny Pinto is from Pennsylvania, and that kid is a beast. And he goes full bore the whole time. I mean, he was on his back and off his back and on his back and off his back and pinned the guy. I mean, he is a crowd favorite. He is going to bring more excitement to the Devaney Center than that place has seen for anything other than a big-time volleyball game in years. You talk about cult of personality with Kisai Tominaga. Lenny Pinto is going to develop that as well in the sport of wrestling, because – he is just one of those kids that, you know, lock up the women and children. Here's Lenny. And he's just going to go out there and do incredible, amazing things. So,
kind of like Gable Stevenson.
Yes. Yes. Very much so. But even more spectacular, you know, than Gable Stevenson. So he's going to be great. You know, they beat Arizona State handily this weekend. I think they only dropped two matches to them in the whole meet. Liam Cronin was a killer, won in overtime down there at 125 pounds. Big Ten tournament in 2 weeks, toughest tournament in the country. Then the NCAA tournament comes after that, second toughest tournament in the country. And hopefully Nebraska, you know, Coach Manning has the boys fresh. Hopefully they can go out there and make some noise. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know where they're going to place. They're good enough. They're good enough to get third in the Big Ten. They're good enough to get third in the Big Ten. And they're good enough to bring a trophy home from the NCAA tournament. Trophies go to the top four. Now, there's a lot of luck involved at the NCAA tournament as well. So things have to just fall right. But, yeah, exciting for wrestling.
We're at 48 minutes, Todd. We still have 12 minutes to go.
I drove out to Benkelman.
Benkelman?
I drove out to Benkelman in a snowstorm. And when we got there, it snowed even more. And then the next day I had to turn around and drive back to Omaha in a snowstorm. So I drove in a snowstorm both ways.
Benkelman.
Yeah. I was out in your neck of the woods, John. Saw a turn.
We played them. We played Benkelman in football. I'm trying to think about what happened. Yeah, they were Benkelman. I was trying to think of what happened to us in that game. It was such a long trip to Benkelman. I mean, it was, you know, you get on a bus and you ride for a long time, and then you have to get off the bus and play good football. And I want to say a kid. No, that wasn't that. Game. I don't know. I can't remember Benkelman. You know, I think bad things to us in Benkelman.
I know that this is way off track, but I do want to put in a plug here. That school district out there is called Dundee County Stratton Schools. And one of the things, and you know, you talk about rural Nebraska, rural schools anywhere, and it's really, really tough right now for rural schools. Teacher shortages, all of that kind of, it's hard. But I'll tell you what, I just about lost it when we were talking with board members, and I was informed they have two separate foundations out there that when any young man or young woman graduates from Dundee County Stratton Schools, all they have to do is sign paperwork. And these two foundations will provide between the two of them a total of $6,700 of scholarship money for 4 years, regardless of what college they go to, whether they go to the University of Nebraska, whether they go to Notre Dame, or whether they go to Northeast Community College, whatever it is. For 4 years, they get $6,700 from that foundation back there that wants their kids to go on to college and become better human beings. So, hats off to them.
Cool.
That is really, really cool. I've been in districts where they give a lot of scholarship money, but nothing that wasn't competitive or, you know, nothing that was guaranteed like this. Really cool.
Teddy from Texas says 18 inches coming to Minneapolis. That's what she said. Yeah, my neighbors.
I'm not going to Minneapolis.
My neighbors are literally outside where people are preparing for this storm, I guess.
How do you prepare for this storm?
You go to Target and you buy a bunch of food you probably don't even need.
Oh.
I have beans and rice in the, we're always prepared. Let's see, what else? Anything going on football? Because people want to hear shit about football. I think, wait a minute.
Oh, Dylan Raiola's coming on a visit.
Dylan Raiola's coming on a visit in March. Somebody said earlier that Dylan Raiola had canceled his visit to Georgia.
Wow.
Which I had not heard, but I don't, my head buried in the history stuff lately. And Linda says, John, great history video today. Thank you, Linda. I put a lot of hours and a lot of time into that just because I'm trying to learn how to edit videos and do storytelling a little bit better. And I don't know if it's going to get a lot of hits, and that's kind of important to me because I am a performance measuring guy. Like if I said I was going to lose 50 pounds, Todd, I would go lose 50 pounds.
I'm going to work on losing it. I'm going to work on it. Back to Dylan Raiola. The important thing about Dylan Raiola is that they've got this visit scheduled. And, I'm going to apologize to all the listeners. There's some of you out there pay a lot more attention to the details of recruiting than I do. But, if you can get the number one guy to commit, all of a sudden there's, some dominoes that start falling because there's this little clique of these high-powered players, and there are players that will want to go to the same school where the number one quarterback is going to end up. And so not only is Dylan Raiola going to be on campus for his visit, there are a handful of other four-star – five-star players that are going to come to Nebraska to visit. Who knows when you roll the dice whether or not we're going to get any of them. But getting them on campus is a victory. Now, speaking of Nebraska football, here's something I'm going to throw an intellectually challenging question to you, John.
Okay.
Dylan Raiola is the prize.
Yeah.
Is it better to have a winning football season next year? Or is it better to not?
What? You always want a winning football team. You do. Yeah. I want wins, Todd. I want wins. You know why? Because what is that line? A bird in the hand is better than a bird in the bush. Is that what that cliche is?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I'm with. So why would you think that not having a good winning team would be good? Is because Dylan Raiola could come in and be a...
There are people that say that if we get a commitment from Dylan Raiola, that it doesn't matter how well we do, we got Dylan Raiola to come and save the day. And our coaching staff can put a lot more attention to the future than the present and have things in a much better situation in year two than in year one. I think that's a bunch of crap. I think it's crap, but that question was debated on talk radio the other days.
Those guys have to come up with subjects every day, so they do have to come up with stupid stuff. And that one's just one that people are overthinking everything. Wait a minute. Beetle B says two birds. Better two birds than the... I don't remember some of these cliches. You remember the guy with the broken thing
in the bush or something like that?
Okay, there you go. A bird in the hand is worth two birds in the bush.
What?
I could come up with a bunch of other... I could come up with what?
James Boardman. Look at what James said. Do I need to look for a new job?
What am I supposed to be looking for?
James Boardman's quote at Corn Nation. The cancellation was reported by On3.
Oh, the cancellation was, but those guys are on top of everything.
Oh.
I have my own sources. I'll go look those up after we're done here. I didn't look for this ahead of time. But you know, the thing with Dylan Raiola, things in flux. I mean, you know, I talked to an old friend of mine today for lunch, and it was nice. And the fact that Dylan Raiola could always commit and then decommit, and he'd still just the fact that he's visiting and that he would ever even commit for a short while would be worth the time, because he would bring in other players that would see Nebraska for the first time and say, "Hey, maybe I want to stay here, and maybe I want to play football for our beloved Huskers."
I'll tell you what, the fact that we're in the running for Dylan Raiola, that speaks highly of Coach Rhule. It speaks highly of the organization that we have right now. And if we can continue to pull in, get the attention of some of these top recruits, you know, that only bodes well for our football program. I'm excited. I'm excited for the football season. I really am. So, long ways off. I'm excited for spring. How about that? There you go.
Owen Walker says, "Mark my words, if we get Dylan, we will get top linemen and skill players." And I think the key there is getting in top linemen. And my mouse is going wonky. Let's see. I had one more here. Cornhusker Corner earlier said, "Also, if y'all haven't caught Bill Bush on early break, he's on the whole show every day on 93.7 YouTube channel. It's outstanding." Okay, well, there you go. See, we're not afraid to plug other people here.
No, I love watching Bill Bush. 93.7.
Okay. What? I'm sorry?
I love listening to Coach Bush. I think that I'm going to have to check that out. 93.7.
Is that what he's doing? He didn't get another job?
Well, I heard he wasn't going to leave Lincoln. You know, his wife has a good job here, and, you know, it sounded to me like he's, you know, they're not going to pick up and leave. So, you know, what else can he do?
Okay. You know. Oh, for God's sake. I have too much equipment attached to my Mac, and I have too much of my IT job involved in the same computer I'm doing this stuff with, because now I got stuff disconnecting and connecting and keyboard issue. Anyway, you know what? We're running to the end of the show. Is there anything else we've missed, Todd?
Baseball plays at South Alabama this week. Hopefully we're better.
Basketball has Well, they have Minnesota coming up. I know that. And Minnesota has only won one game in the Big Ten. And it's at home, so it better be a win. They better, you know, not blow that one. And then we go into we play Michigan State at home, right? I don't know that much about that one. Again, it's, you know, the way I watch basketball is, oh, God, something bad is going to happen. And then this team has had enough resolute, you know, they've been resolute enough that they haven't allowed that to happen. Okay. I break something every show now, don't I? Let's see. Owen Walker says, Bill Bush is amazing, and The Early Break does a live show on YouTube every morning. The Early Break with Steve Sippel and Jake Sorensen. Okay, you know what, Todd? We've hit an hour. And it's time to probably say goodnight.
Yeah. Before I say something I regret.
You haven't done that yet?
I stand by my comments.
Well, hopefully next week will be a better week for Nebraska baseball, and they'll figure some stuff out before we face South Alabama. And we're not too far away from playing in Minnesota, actually.
Yep.
Yep. Okay. Yep. Is that it for tonight, Todd?
I think that's it.
Okay. Good night, Todd.
Good night, John.